This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
Conversationalists,
come out to play and get in the conversation.
You know we had to do a podcast.
Yeah, yo, take that.
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of D, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, it is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right hand side, I got... Ah, shit. Vladimir Camaño is not in the conversation this week. But on my left-hand side, I got...
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, up in here.
What's going on, brother?
I'm Manning. Welcome to the conversation.
Oh, shit. We in here.
We in here.
Two toes down.
No doubt. You know, they out here bombing shit up in New York.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's... Yeah.
Where were you?
Where was... Damn, son, you sound like the interrogation room.
No, I'm just asking where you was at.
I was
the experience.
No. I was actually uptown, and I was at the house. So okay. I was away from everything. But those, I'll be honest with you, that shit kind of tightened me up a little bit. It gave me a little anxiety.
What you mean?
The bombing, because it was very accessible. Type of bombing.
To you walking down that street.
Just regular everyday. Two things. One, there's a couple things. One, reason I say this is accessible is like when you hear about a bombing like 42nd Street, 34th Street, you know, they could probably impact way more people, but it's almost, you could understand that. You say, okay, they went for a tourist site, they tried to impact as many people as possible. But when it's like 27th Street, just a random street, most people live on random streets.
Right.
You know, and that's just, you see people just walking just regular, oh shit, you know, because on 27th Street.
It was 23rd where the bomb went off.
I thought it was 27th.
The 27th is where they found the second one.
Oh, that didn't go off. Look at me. All right, my bad.
The 23rd Street is where it went off.
Well, 23rd Street is a bit of
a busy
thoroughfare.
Yeah, that's a busy.
Okay.
But it's like a regular one. It's not like.
It's not up there with the 42nd, the 34th.
It was like 23rd between 6th and 7th. So,
right.
You know, so on the tech serve block.
Yeah, which is that 6th and 7th?
Yeah,
no, 7th and 8th is by Gotham. I'm just trying to figure out.
So 6th and 7th. 7th.
By like Best Buy.
No, that's 6.
Oh, so between 6 and 7 by where the... There's like a school for the deaf,
the blind.
They see people. You see people like
That's where all the windows were shattered out at the blind spot.
Oh damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, man. But you know, like I said, it was an accessible ass street. Like people live on that street.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's not a lot of storefronts on that street. It was just a regular street.
Right.
And it was crazy. But you know what I'm saying.
Fortunately enough, no one got killed.
Exactly.
So that's the good thing. They apprehended a suspect.
Yeah, shot him in the leg.
You know.
That's a conversation in itself.
Well, I mean, we're going to have that
blow some motherfuckers up and get shot in the leg.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But, you know, it was weird because I'm shooting right now. We have...
Shooting video.
We
just be clear.
Yeah, not guns. We had two shoots. And yesterday was on 27th. That's how I know all this shit.
Right.
So it was on 27th where they found the second bomb.
Uh-huh.
And then today we were on 23rd where the bomb actually went off, like two doors down.
Mm.
And when you're on the block, so like yesterday we were on the block waiting on the car. And the neighbors that, like you said, people live on that block.
They want to see what the fuck you doing.
Nah, it was just like being on your block in any neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like you in Bed-Stuy, somebody got stabbed.
Right.
I don't know what's wrong with them. These kids out here acting a fool.
Oh, saying that to anybody.
Yeah,
that
like
comes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know how there'd be the old lady standing out there. That was Daquan.
Yeah. This is a good neighborhood.
This is a good, I don't know why they acting like that. These kids nowadays ain't got no respect.
So different.
But it was the same type of conversation on the block, even though it was like a international event on TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But on the block, it was just like, man, this is crazy. Like, you know.
Because it's still a community.
Right.
It's still a community.
Like, you never look at Manhattan as a community.
Right.
It's just a place to pass through, getting where you're trying to get to and get your money.
On the big blocks.
Right.
But when you go into small blocks, that's the little community. You know? Motherfuckers paying a lot of money to be in this community. And for the price of this rent, I didn't think I should be, you know, ducking pipe bombs and shit.
Exactly.
This is bullshit.
But it wasn't even like the price of the rent. It was just like random dude talking to the super, standing out in front of the building like, yo. And then after the super talked to him, they do some whisper talking. He come out like, yeah, shit, man. My man right there, he was taking his honey for a walk. You know what I'm saying? And then they hit the bomb, so they came back to the building thinking it was safe. And then they said the other bomb was over here. So it was just like random, everyday talk like you would hear in any hood.
And it's just like any hood, there's a level of pride there, right? So if it's a sense of community, and now we known for this bombing, right?
Right.
Before you get us confused with all of these other bombing sites, let's just be clear. No, this is a good week. The people have a good time over here. My man was walking with his woman. There's regular life goes on here. Please don't define us by this bullshit that just happened.
Right, right, right. So it's just weird to actually be in that neighborhood at that moment with the news cameras going and just the regular people having regular conversations. It wasn't like no stress. It wasn't like 9/11. Everybody was all the way shook.
Right.
It was just like, damn, this shit was right here.
Yeah. I think the fact that they apprehended a suspect fairly quickly kind of quelled a little bit of the stress levels. It became, it just became a New York City inconvenience. Nobody died. Some shit was crazy. Mm-hmm. But we seemed to have somebody in custody that could answer for all of this shit.
But see, New York got their propaganda game down packed.
Oh,
they
not
going to let no shit linger too long.
No, no, no.
They go, they got that media jujitsu on your
bad
ass.
For business. We got to spin this story. Oh, man. We had it shit. And all of the resolution was in Jersey. It was just like, let's get it.
It ain't even us. You know, get it twisted.
Yeah,
man.
That's Linden.
That's some old Jersey shit.
By the old, some chicken spot. Shout out to my man, Chris Lambert. He was one of the first people who was like, yo, the coordinates of where they caught this suspect actually put me onto a brand new chicken spot. So I said, well, what's the name of this chicken spot? And he gave me the name of the chicken spot. I'm going to tell you the name of the chicken spot real quick.
Coordinates.
And coordinates. I might have been paraphrasing when I said coordinates. But he told me, so the name of the chicken spot that the suspect was caught by, it's called First American Fried Chicken in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Now, I should have known First American Fried Chicken. It sounds like it's in the line of a Kennedy's. A Crown, a Kansas.
Obama.
Obama. You know what I mean? It's a different tier of chicken.
No doubt.
That's after we've been drinking. It's late. It's probably 3 a.m. You feeling, you got a munchie going, it's nothing else going on, get you a little box for about $4.
I mean, ironically, I ran into one of them spots around my way after this shoot today real quick before I had to come here.
All right.
But I was disappointed because, you know, usually those spots, you know, you could go walk in, walk out. You
know,
chicken on deck.
Quick.
Quick.
Yeah.
I walk in the spot, no chicken up on the heater.
Ugh.
I'm like, well, yo, how long the chicken?
It's not like they dropping it.
Listen, man, I'm like, how long? He's like, man, 15 minutes. He had just dropped the batch, but I'm like, come on, man. I can't wait no 15 minutes for this.
Maybe he's doing good.
I mean, they are doing good, but I had to abort mission.
So what you do?
Shit, I went to IKEA.
There was an IKEA close to where
I had
at?
My son go to school by IKEA, so I just deferred my hunger until I got in the neighborhood of the food. I mean, it was a weird question. What did I do?
Well, you brought it up, but then that's a wide range. Yo, I went to the little Kennedy-type spot because I was in a jam. They didn't have what I needed, so I went to IKEA. That's hilarious.
That sound wild, but you know what I'm saying? That's what actually happened.
That's the reality of the situation.
I probably should have just said nothing, but you know what I'm saying?
What you get from my kid? Did you get the Swiss Swedish meatball?
I had the chicken meatballs, and then I was so hungry, I had the chicken strips. You know, they got the chicken strips and fries as a package.
Okay.
Then they got the meatballs as a package.
Right.
So I got a little bit of both.
Okay. Treated yourself.
I was hungry.
A la carte.
That's when your hunger is bigger than your appetite.
What's that at IKEA? That's about a good $7?
Yeah, it's about $7.
Yeah, that's about right. IKEA,
you get a nice little meal for $5.
You can live good at IKEA, just off of IKEA. But what I was saying, so when I go to the First American Fried Chicken, because once my man said that, I was like, well, let me see the Yelp. And the funny thing about Yelp after a disaster is people just start talking because that's something that's been referred to. So they use that as the comment box for everything that's going on. So I looked at First American Fried Chicken's joint and they had like a 1.5. I was like, oh, this is terrible. You don't want that type of Yelp. But they had a lot of reviews. So they had to put up a full-on disclaimer.
What is that?
The disclaimer says, it's an active cleanup alert. Now, the disclaimer has like a pop-up that shows like two news vans. One has a 4, one has a 7. I don't know if that's just a national thing or they really trying to go in on NBC and ABC, but I think that's just a national default. Active cleanup alert. This business recently made waves in the news, which often means that people come to this page to post their views on the news. While we don't take a stand one way or the other when it comes to these news events, we do work to remove both positive and negative posts that appear to be motivated more by the news coverage itself than the reviewer's personal consumer experience with the business. As a result, your post to this page may be removed as part of our cleanup process beginning Monday, September 19, 2016. But you should feel free to post your thoughts about the recent media coverage for this business on Yelp Talk at any time. And then that was it.
So, I mean, was he coming out of the business or did he own it?
I think he fell asleep like in front of a bar but was nearby. Or maybe we got to have Chris give his chicken testimonial. But from what he saw was when they were showing the block in which the suspect was apprehended, mm-hmm. there was this blue on and that just said, you know, what is it? First American Fried Chicken.
It seems like the family owns the restaurant.
I was trying to figure out why they would give them bad reviews.
Oh, shit. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now.
One bad seed. Fuck up your whole business.
Fuck up the whole thing. Because, I mean.
First American Chicken. They over there slanging that chicken and pay for terrorism. It's fucked up. You know that's what them reviews were talking about.
Fried, crunchy terrorism.
You know what I'm saying? Getting them black dollars to fund their terrorism.
Oh, man.
They had a 4.67 rating before everybody found out.
Wait a minute now. Hold on. We may need to reconsider. How many comments did they have with that 4.6? This is where it really makes...
I'm not sure. It just says in the article that was the average.
Okay, when you 4.6 with 7 comments, that's different from a 4.6 with like 398 comments. Then you're like, well, wow, that's a true 4.6.
True indeed.
Anyway.
First American.
Yeah, man, but shit. You know, our prayers go to everybody that was affected, you know. Good thing there was no fatalities.
Right.
Hopefully we don't have no, you know. This pop-up terrorism shit keep you on edge.
Nah, no doubt.
You know what I mean? High and low terrorism. That's the thing that just, you know. Sometimes with terrorism, you feel like you out the way on a certain level, you know. But you never. That's the thing about terrorism. You never know.
My man, that same super that was coming out the building,
uh-huh.
He was like, yeah, man. Because, you know, they were in the basement looking at the tapes and shit or whatever. And he was like, yeah, man, shit, my man. He almost picked up the pressure cooker because he was like...
Oh, it was a pressure cooker.
It was like a pressure cooker. He's like, he Jamaican, you know what I'm saying? And he was looking at it, but you know, when you know you pick stuff up, you know what I'm saying? That's something you got to eat on. So he was like, it was by the garbage, so he just left that shit.
Mm.
I'm like, damn.
I like the insight. But you know what, though? I love the guy that's from their testimonial. Even if he ain't see it. Because the motherfucker that see it is the best. But even if he ain't see it, he's still going to give you some full context on everything.
This dude had all the behind-the-scenes coverage.
Oh, man.
From the building perspective.
That's funny. That's funny.
He harassing the other super from the other building. He's like, what's going on with the security down there, man?
Hilarious.
And then that security, he was shook. He was like, yo, man. His hands were shaking.
Was his shit the one that was affected or was
it was the building that was affected?
The security, that's who security was shook.
Yeah, that dude, reason. He was shook. Yeah, mm-hmm. He was. This cat was then fucking with him.
Yeah,
what's going on with the security down there, man?
That's the shit,
man. Like, hey, man, this shit crazy. Man.
It's too soon, my nigga. Come on, take it easy with all that shit. Ah, shit. And then another tragedy.
Oh shit! You gonna stay on tragedy?
I mean, you cracked it open with tragedy. You want to talk about?
I mean, might as well.
You want to go tragedy, levity, tragedy?
Yeah, it's hard.
It's
shot at somebody else.
Yep,
unarmed.
Yeah,
broke down car.
Yep,
tripped out. Shit about that shit was. Did you see the video?
I saw a couple different angles of the video, and I hate watching these fucking videos. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. It's starting to get, you know, it's redundant. You know what I mean? You don't want to be desensitized by it. You don't want to be numb by it. Mm-hmm. But it's just the shit is it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, and it's almost like still that happened, and I still think the Colin Kaepernick kneeling, you know, during the national anthem, still the controversy about that makes more waves than the reason he's kneeling when shit like this happens.
Right.
You know, people talking about it, but, you know.
I mean, the crazy shit about this particular video, not the crazy shit, but the interesting thing.
Yep.
Was that you get to hear the guys in the helicopter talking.
The big bad man.
Yeah.
The big bad dude.
Like, first, you see the dude with his hands up walking away. This looked like the point where they tase him. I'm like, damn. Tase him for what?
They just know it.
Like, what is he doing that warrants a tase?
Being black and unfamiliar. You know what I'm saying?
And then he continues talking, it's about the time they tase him. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He's like, he looks like a bad man. That looked like a bad man right there.
Wow. Like, I don't know what looked like bad about him.
What's bad? How you look bad with your hands in the air walking to your truck?
Black man.
I'm like, damn, that look like a bad man?
That shit is sad.
But that gives you true insight on just how motherfuckers be thinking.
But what's sad about it is there's nothing that man could have done to make him look any less of a threat. You know what I mean? He had his back to, he had his hands in the air. He's retreating. You know what I mean? Like, what more? They said the one lady said she felt like he tried to go into the car. But
I don't understand why they ain't rush him before he got to the car. Why they ain't just arrest him? If that's what they was going to do.
Well, first of all, they wasn't even there on the call about him. They was on another call, and they came upon him on their way to the call.
I thought the call was about a stalled truck in the middle of the street, abandoned truck in the middle of the street.
He might have made a call to the cops about that, but the cops that arrived were on route to another call. If I'm not mistaken, I think they was en route to another call, and they came across him. And then from there, it happened. It wasn't like somebody said, yo, there's a disturbance or anything crazy like that or anything. The only call would have been a call for, you know, listen, I need help. A distress call, if anything.
I just don't understand how a motherfucker got his hands up and you just don't walk up to him and put the cuffs on if that's what you wanted to do.
I don't understand that if you tased him and he's on the floor and it's more than... What is it? The three officers. He's on the floor. He's tased.
I think when he shot the taser, she shot the gun.
Oh, they shot at the same time.
It was around the same time. Oh, he wasn't on the ground and she shot him.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's bullshit, though.
He hit him with one. Hit him with the taser. Other one hit him with the bullets.
I was watching. I was watching the Breakfast Club interview Steve Wilkos. You know Steve, the from Jerry Springer. You know the guy that's always break up the fights. Mm-hmm. Chicago cop, so mm-hmm. He was talking about, because he was a Chicago cop or whatever, and they asked him about this. And he said something that I have other people that have worked in, like, law enforcement. he said one thing about, like, what's going on now with a lot of these new cops. They've never really been in any type of combat. They never had to use force in any other type of way. They don't really have aggressive backgrounds. They might not fight or anything like that. So when they have to use force, the only option is the gun or the taser. It's never like, let's get this guy on the floor. Like back in the day, you felt like cops, they'll grapple your ass, put you down. Even if it was like, when we think about Rodney King, it was a bunch of cops
whooping his ass
with nightsticks, like old school. I hate to say it like that, but it was old school. It wasn't straight pistols.
It wasn't shooting somebody in the back as they walking away with their hands because you still feel a little scared about how you're going to, what you're going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous. That's,
did the camera on the ground have voices? Or is just
I don't know if I saw a ground cam video. I know it's a bunch of different camera angles.
Yeah, man.
It's
another hashtag and shit.
It's crazy.
What's good with you?
Well, yeah.
What's good with you?
I'm all right, man. I'm chilling. I'm still alive. You know what I mean?
That ain't enough, man. Tell me something good. Life is for the living. Like the old heads. But tell me something good, young blood.
Yeah. That used to be my shit. Tell me something good. All right. Shout out to True TV. They had a meet and greet for me on Friday to celebrate we wrapped shooting on the second season of Comedy Knockout. Actually, tonight is the season finale of season one of Comedy Knockout.
Oh, so, season one?
Yeah, season one finale tonight.
I thought y'all
were on two. Yeah, we've been shooting two, but this is going to impact in a minute. But tonight is tonight at 11 p.m. We got the season finale. We got Sarah Tiana, Kevin McCaffrey, and Josh Wolf. It was a good episode. But they threw me like a little meet and greet, you know, to the people that work in the offices, marketing, sales, all of that. You know what I mean? And big ass cake.
It was the talent.
Yeah, I was the talent. Came through. But I came through. Sometimes I could be a little sweaty. We still in a transition. We in a transition moment with the weather. You know what I mean? It's still halfway summer, halfway fall. So I'm a sweater. So I shouldn't have all the way jumped into this long sleeve I had on. And I get a little anxious or a little nervous. You know what I mean? I might sweat a little bit more. And then when I realize I'm sweating, I start sweating. I start worrying about the sweat, which produces more sweat. So I was sweaty at the meet and greet, looking like a nigga scored 40 in the garden in his damn street clothes and some jeans and a button up. And it was the type of sweat where you just got to comment on to break the, hey, yeah, I'm a little sweaty right now, and, you know. But after the sweat subsided, the love was still there. I got to chop it up.
True.
With a lot of the True Squadron, man. Big shout to everybody over there. I mean, it's more people, you know, it's too many people to name, but everybody over in that True TV building that's been showing love, man. I really appreciate it and look forward to season.
But you know, that'd be like the little secret weapon shit, you know what I'm saying?
What's the secret weapon?
When the people in the building, like, you know, you had them type of little events, the little meet and greet, so you come through the building and meet some of the people that work there and shit that's working your project every day. That's late day motherfucking job.
Right.
They got to be sending out press releases and doing all kind of marketing shit for your show and you don't even know them.
Yeah.
And they don't know you.
Yeah.
And then when you do come through and they can connect and then be like, oh shit, yeah, he came through. He was a cool motherfucker.
Sweaty nigga.
Motherfucker, but he cool.
Nah.
That makes when they have to come to work and work on your shit on a Monday after a long weekend or so, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They had a great time on weekend. It's Monday.
Yeah. It's gratitude.
Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, I could do this.
They fuck with you because you fuck with them.
It was like when we, you know what I'm saying, like when we was doing the shit at Vibe and we had our artists that might do something for us and then they gain some goodwill in the building.
Right.
And you work a little harder for them.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? You make sure that they get their plug where they need to get their plug.
Of course. That's one of your people. You look out. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so, like, I wonder if you became somebody's artist in the building.
I hope so. I hope so, man. I appreciate the goodwill. I'm out here. I'm trying to let them know that I appreciate what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think so. I think I've been starting to build a bit of rapport with the people. They putting me on to what they got going on and things of that nature. You know, I'm talking to the marketing people, talking to the, you know, the social people, talking to the sales folk, telling them I used to do sales. And they like, oh, really? Then we start talking that quota
start
talk.
Talking RFPs and shit.
You know what I mean? They like, okay. It's like being in the war. I used to have a quota. But no, it was all good, man. I dig it. This is probably the second time I really kicked it with, like, the engine. I call it the engine because those are people that you might not see. I seen a lot of them at the True TV upfronts.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, True's rebranding themselves, so they're kind of getting out from, you know, the whole Court TV and all that other stuff, people that know them for other things. But they've got that moxie, that energy of, you know,
we coming up. We check for us. Stay tuned, because we coming. You know what I mean? And I always like that energy. Reminds me like an independent rap label.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't believe me, just watch. Well, I don't know.
Raucous and shit.
A little bit more aspirational. Rockefeller
on Fifth Ave.
Early John Street Rockefeller.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, word. Yeah, that's
early.
Before Fifth Ave.
That's early. Anyway, that's what's good. What else is going on? What else did I... Shit, man. I've been chilling. I'm just enjoying...
So you got your show popping. Yeah. I got season two. When's season two come?
Season two, it's coming soon. I don't want to say the date because I'm not sure exactly, it's in the can.
Man, it's a lot of good shit, man, out here on this, you know what I'm saying, with this black entertainment, man.
Oh, it's a good season.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a good time. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the 90s almost when Martin and all that shit was out, Def Comedy Jam.
It's turning around
there. Yeah, it's coming in that era, man. I like what's going on.
Well, what you liking?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready to see what Issa Rae come with on this Insecure.
Yeah.
Fucking with this ATL show real heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know you've been watching a couple of them. You watching?
I watched the first four. I like the shit a lot, man.
Are the people up to four?
I don't know. The people's up to four. I know I stayed up to four.
D had the links on their ass.
I was privy to some privileged information, some privileged entertainment, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for putting me on to the privileged information, because I'm fucking with the show. Uh-huh. I like it.
It's a good show.
Yeah, man. I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody wrote that it was like... a black Seinfeld show about nothing, which I disagree with. You know what I'm saying? Because where it might seem on the outside like it's not, these things don't connect and it's, you know what I'm saying, loose. Right. It's just showing very detailed texture of what it means to be in that situation young. I call it your pre-life crisis.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? When you young, before you really get into your real shit, what you going to be doing, you trying to figure it out, it's after high school, but before you get legit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How people talk about your midlife crisis.
Right.
It's what you do in your pre-life crisis that set up what your midlife crisis going to be
I
like.
I can dig it.
You know what I'm saying?
Explain that more. What does that mean
like
to you?
Well, like in your pre-life, you trying to figure out where you want to go, what you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the one cousin who rapping and selling dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got this one who was at Princeton. He done took a, you know what I'm saying, took a break, so to speak.
Right.
To figure out shit. He, you know, trying to manage the cousin, trying to convince the cousin he worthy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they doing their little young black male thing. You know what I'm saying? Trying to figure it out. He having problems with his baby mama.
Right.
He broke. Uh-huh. He got the dead-end job. And this is where you had to make a decision on how you going to handle that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You could go in a few different directions. He could, you know what I'm saying? You could go down a dark road. You could continue the struggle path and, you know what I'm saying, and get caught up in your dead end life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or you could take some steps, make some plans, and stretch out.
Right.
And get to another place where, you know what I'm saying, you get into your thing. And I mean, I know I've been there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's a very undefinable space that, especially like when you're doing young, I call it your young black male thing, that it's not a lot of understanding for. It's not a lot of patience. Resources,
right?
That kind of tell you what to do in these situations.
It's uncharted.
It's uncharted. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like you know what I'm saying, like in mainstream America, you know, you go find yourself,
right?
You know what I'm saying? They'll go take a trip and do an adventure and walk through Europe and shit, and you know what I'm saying, you know, get go to the Africa jungles and, you know what I'm saying, and have an adventure.
Uh-huh.
It's not that your ass having an adventure right in the fucking hood, in a situation where it's not, these options seem so limited,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Don't play yourself.
And that show falls right into that space, and that's a very important space to me. Because if you do that wrong, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You could fuck around and end up dead, or you could fuck around and end up in the pen for the next 10.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I say, so it sets up where your midlife going to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I could dig it, and I like that. I like that that idea, the pre-life crisis, because it is at that point to where, you said, like, after high school, maybe after college, right before you settle into a real job, like a traditional job. So it's kind of where you're trying to figure out if you are who you think you are, and if you're not, how do you get there? and not try to concede to the consequences that could keep you in a certain situation. The, right. the reality of where you are versus where you want to be versus where you could end up. Right. You know what I mean? So it's real precarious and shit. And right. then on top of that, it's just black nuance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some shit, like, there's certain shit that is so black that you just had to, you know, it's shorthand. You know what right. I mean? It's definitely. Like, when they said, there's one episode, and I've seen it traveling a little bit, but I just like the, I just like how on point they are with certain places. Like, they really get into Atlanta. It's not like cursory. It's not an overview. It's not the places that everybody sees. Like, when they went to Crickets, mm-hmm. and they used the chicken box almost on some Pulp Fiction shit, where right, the chicken right, box right. was glowing.
Yeah, the lemon pepper wet.
Lemon pepper wet. I've never had lemon pepper. I didn't even know there was a. I always knew lemon pepper as a dry rub.
Right,
it could
right.
be a lemon pepper wet. I think I've seen a somewhat wet, but that in itself is just so fucking, like, that's so specific
right.
to a certain culture. And you're like, yo, wait a minute. Get the fuck out of here with that. Like, it's moments like that that are dope. And then it's just the quirky ass, the fact that they could still be, they could be rooted in something that's accessible but still be quirky as fuck. Like the kid, Lakeith Stanfield, I forget who he plays. He's Earn's homeboy. He was in, he's been in a bunch of shit. It's Donald Glover, who's Earn, sorry. And it is Paperboy, and then it's his homeboy.
Paperboy homeboy, yeah.
It's Alfred?
I forget his name, but he the one who he be having all the philosophy.
He's the philosopher. But he's like like a stoner weirdo, like right. some weird bug out shit.
Right.
But I like that they humor that because right. sometimes what he says is poignant as fuck, right. and then other times it's just bullshit.
Right.
And it was just, it's like one of those things. It's a nice little device that you don't really see in a lot of
drug dealer characters.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see the existential drug dealer in a black production.
You know what I'm saying? But that's again, it speaks to a real place because you do have these characters.
Of course.
You do have these nuances. You do have, you know what I'm saying, cats that may be talking from a metaphysical standpoint, but they right there in the hood right. selling dope, ironing their money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, it just points a different light on different things. You know what I'm saying?
Because you know so many people like that are like, they might be in one situation, but how they look at the world, it kind of belies where you see them. You right. know what I mean? Like, you're like, damn, that's the type of shit you want?
Right.
I'd have never known that you know. That's interesting.
You know, and even the way that character flipped that cell phone money, I ain't going to blow it for people who ain't seen it, but.
Right. Mm-hmm. It gave you a little food for thought.
Like, oh, that's shit. It. He went to great lengths.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He saw an opportunity where you wouldn't see the opportunity.
Got vision.
You know what I'm saying?
Got that vision.
But then it also showed that he was connected in so many different places.
Right. With
different kinds of people.
Resourceful.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had these over here, and he then took that from he went from one culture to the next to turn $200 into $4,000.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Cause he don't let nobody define him but himself.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that's smooth.
And you know, that's a place where we be living in. And that's like a lot of cats, even in the hood, live in that place where they. Cause when you selling dope or when you know what I'm saying, you moving about, you know people from all kinds of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Even if it's just where you your plug. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is you gonna know people from different places in different ways, and you're gonna learn some different things, you know what I'm saying? Wherever you at, you might go into a place where you gotta speak Spanish a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just roll up in there, hola, como esta, and everybody,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Is you're gonna know, you're gonna cross pollinate with different cultures and have some different understanding,
yeah.
Which people in the media or in shows and stuff like that, they don't give a lot of lip service to that. You know what I'm saying? They don't give a lot of credence to the cross-pollinization of cultures through, you know what I'm saying, being just in the hood.
Because it's not easy to put there. It's almost unbelievable.
Right.
But I think, like, vices and money bring all types of people together. You know what I mean? Like, you could meet all types of people.
And the lack thereof.
And you know what I mean? And it's, you could be introduced to all types of shit in the search for either. So, that's dope, man. At the same time, I like Survivor's Remorse a lot. You been watching that?
Yeah, I just caught up with that. That wasn't my show at first. I hadn't watched it. My wife was on that.
Man, I think they on a mean season this year.
Yeah, this is, I caught up with it, and I like what they're doing, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, especially because it's kind of like it's coming out of LeBron and them camp.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you could see, you know what I'm saying, the way that they playing the game in the NBA and how they manipulating, you know what I'm saying, the negotiations and, you know what I'm saying, making sure the contracts stay short so they can always negotiate it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's bleeding into the show. And it's giving you a fictional account of it, but you could actually just get a glimpse of, you know what I'm saying, how intricate and how game changing they are actually being.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the NBA.
Yeah, really.
You can get, you know, this little fictional account of it, just which probably only tells, you know, a fraction.
And that's just a branch of what LeBron has done. I was watching LeBron on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. He's giving an interview. You don't really hear LeBron interview much.
Right.
Right?
Not on no real shit. You know, the game was great and
post game
my guys were you know, very, very, you know.
But I heard him on that, and then there's another podcast. I'll find the name of it before the end of the show. But there's another podcast where he's talking at length too. LeBron is very strategic, very thoughtful. Like, this motherfucker got some shit popping. Like, he's doing this thing. Some of it is quiet as kept because they might not show all of that. Which is impressive. Like, one thing that caught my attention, I'm like on the internet watching. I'm watching it on TV, but I'm still surfing the internet or whatever, so I'm in and out. But I know he sent about 1,000 kids to school, right, to University of Akron.
Right, that's what he pledged. He pledged that amount.
Right, so he pledged to send about 1,000 kids to school, right?
Right.
So there's kids that aren't, like, if you got the LeBron scholarship and you miss like a day or two, LeBron will call you. Like, yeah, what's going on, fam? Like, I'm, you know what I mean? You got a full ride. What's the deal?
Man, yeah. Shrewd with them dollars. Listen here, playboy.
So check this shit out. Check this, the cool shit. So LeBron, so then they was joking. And it was like, he said, I kind of realized that some of these cats might miss a few days just to get the call.
Right.
And when that happened, I just pull up on them on the campus. I was like, ah, that's fire. That shit is gangster, dog. I like that shit. I like the fact that he trying to, you know, make a way for a generation, man. Shout out to that man, dude. He out there.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I dig how they planning and running it and telling it as a story on Survivor's Remorse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I fucks with it.
Yeah, it's good. And it's good acting.
And they got a lot of, you know, good little niches in there. You know what I'm saying? I like that old Tashina Arnold getting her shine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She doing her thing all the way back from the Martin era.
Like Martin, you know, Everybody Hates Chris.
You know what I'm saying? BDB.
Yeah. She's a beast. Tashina Arnold's a beast. I mean, that whole squad over there is getting it in. Tiana Paris, killer shit. Erica Ash. I think the kid's in Ron Richo. I forget how you pronounce his name. Yeah. And then, what's my man? Jesse T. Usher. Like, the whole squad. That's one of those shows I truly fuck with. And I try to get people to pay attention to it because I don't know if enough people are watching it. But this particular season, man, they putting in some good work. They writing some great episodes. So if you haven't checked out Survivor's Remorse, check it out.
You know what I'm saying? That's that Stars.
Yeah.
That's another one of them indie on the come up networks.
You know what I mean?
They got that power popping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Are you confused
with
power? Are you up to date?
I'm up to date. I'm not confused
at all.
The only thing I'm confused about is,
okay, here we go.
Is how.
See, niggas wasn't confused at first.
No, I wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Confused. You know how you ask a motherfucker something and their first response is like, nah,
I ain't confused. I'm straight up. I'm on point with mine.
Were you sleeping? No, I wasn't sleeping.
Motherfucker. Exactly. Oh, I get super defensive. You sound like you were sleeping. No, not at all. Not at all.
Nah, I'm up, man. I'm up.
Sure. Just got off work.
Nah, but only thing I'm confused with, I'm confused how they let the ghost character go from being so strong and so smart and so, you know what I'm saying, pulled together
right.
To being so unwound, so confused,
right.
So not pulled together. Like, right. just the dumb look on his face at all times this season.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on, man? How you go from being that to just dumb in the face? You know what I'm saying? Like,
make
all
him, the, yeah.
Just all the way dumb in the face. I can understand your position is fucked up, but...
Yeah, because it never... Because he was like Superman in the first... What was the first two seasons?
Mm-hmm.
He was infallible. It was really Tommy that was the sucker for love a little bit. He might be a hothead and, you know, blah, right. blah, blah.
But even Tommy was hot-headed and, you know what I'm saying, not as smart or whatever. He just didn't look stupid in the face all the goddamn time.
You think Ghost is out here looking stupid in the face?
I mean, Ghost got that stupid look on his face. Like, I already don't like how Power used those facial expressions. I think I talked about that before.
He says a lot of face acting.
Yeah, it's a lot of face acting on there. I don't know what the fuck is this, a mandate or something? It's like,
face acting.
The fuck is going on with these crazy ass faces? But, you know, and Ghost, he's winning the fucking award for a crazy ass face this season.
Yo, screenshot the craziest face you seen on Power and send it to me and Mr. Muhammad, because I got to get this face acting shit going. He is calling face acting. I've never seen it before. But if you see a weird ass face on Power or anything else, screenshot that shit and send it to us. Hashtag in the conversation. Anyway, y'all got to watch that last episode again, because it was just a lot going on. And I was half-ass watching it. I've been...
Right.
You know what I mean? I haven't been...
They dragging their feet. I just want to see Kanan get in the mix.
What's up with Tariq, though, man?
I mean, Tariq just doing dumb kid shit.
Damn, though. I mean, he a little too naive. I guess grew up so good, but damn.
I mean, that shit happens every day.
I guess so.
You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers end up in the wrong hands every day. And
his little ruse to get them Jordans, though, I wasn't mad at his
slickery.
Nah, his shit was, I was like, okay.
Kanan, he's the master manipulator on this shit.
Oh, yeah. He manipulated his way into fucking, like, he's damn near the lead character now.
Well, I mean, it's his show.
I mean, but you know, he went from the side. It's like, wait a minute, this shit like,
hold on, this is hot. Let me go ahead and.
50, like, if this shit is hot, I need to be all the way in here.
Shit, this is all I got right now, shit.
Oh, shit.
That's the only song you really hear. It's a big rich town.
That shit hard, though.
That's because it's on TV. If that bitch just came on the radio, ooh, you would be like, arr.
Yeah, it was a download link, you'd be like, nah, I'm cool.
It's regular.
Damn!
But on TV, you know this shit, okay. Power about to come on.
Hell yeah.
Singing that shit.
I always feel like a show is not good unless you can sing that theme song. Unless when that theme song come on and you know the words to it, that ain't really your show.
No doubt.
What's some of your favorite TV theme songs?
Shit, nigga. You got me on the spot.
Tell us.
The Jeffersons, the motherfucking Fred Sanford.
Wait a minute, though. Hold on now. With the Jeffersons, I'm going to just, and they don't play this shit enough, even in the repeats. Now, the theme song is great, but the end, when the credits come on, they're like, That is the rawest. I don't know why nobody's ever sampled that shit. That is the flyest. It's
probably expensive.
Hell yeah, but they always talk over it too. The Jeffersons was brought to you by, but that motherfucking hum. Mm-hmm. If somebody could throw some drums on that hum, woohoo!
That's the In the Conversation beat challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The Jeffersons challenge.
Somebody try to chop up that Jefferson shit, man, please.
West Man Chad, we calling you out. We challenge you.
I think I might have asked him to do that, man.
He said, fuck that shit.
I don't think he tried to, but it's not a lot to get. But yo, listen, if y'all out there, y'all want to take the in the conversation, this ain't the Soul Going Challenge. This is the Jeffersons Challenge. Why don't you loop that hum at the end, the final credits screen, and if you loop some shit crazy, we're gonna blow you up, but might have something.
D gonna pull something out of his pocket for you.
It might not just be a dedicated D Lemon pocket pull. It might be a triumphant
triumphant pull.
Yeah. It's in the conversation. Anyway, what else is going on, man?
Shit, I had a mean Black Fathers moment.
Oh shit. It's been a minute since we heard Black Fathers.
You know what I'm saying? Black Fathers. My son, you know, this was right before school starts a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, I want to go across the street and ride my bike. So I'm like, all right, cool. Go ahead. So he roll out, he go over there, shit. You know what I'm saying? I was
your cooking. Your youngest son?
Yeah, my middle kid.
Okay.
So I was cooking something, but you know what I'm saying? I'm periodically, you know what I'm saying, looking out the window, checking on him and shit.
Right.
So I see him out there. He racing bikes with another kid around by the same age and shit.
How old?
12.
Okay.
So, you know, they were between 11, 12 years old, 10, 11, 12, whatever. And so, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then something just told me to check again.
Take another look.
Let's take another look. So I went back. It was about 5 minutes later, and I seen the kid he was racing roll out of the park.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, the kid leaving. So I'm looking for my son, and I don't see him.
Uh-huh.
So I step outside.
Right.
And I still don't see him, but then I see another kid come out the park on a bike and ride out the park, which on what looks to be my son's bike.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, where's Ace?
Right.
So I look around the tree, and he's standing there just watching it happen.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? So, again, I'm out here on the block. I'm barefooted.
Barefoot on the block.
You know what I'm saying? Because I was in the house chilling.
You ain't put a slipper on?
I didn't have time. I see the bike riding out. I'm like, hold up.
Ran out of the slave foot.
You know what I'm saying? I'm on the slave foot. Lucky I have been doing a couple of sprints over the last few months.
They got that Kenyan support.
So I'm chasing them. They don't see me coming because I'm coming from an angle.
Yeah.
But they on bikes.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, Lord, I hope they don't drag
you chasing
me.
The bike, nigga.
I'm chasing the kids on my son. He on my son's bike.
Right, no.
I'm like, I hope they don't drag me too far. I don't know how much wind I got
in
me.
Right.
I'm like, so they go one block.
Damn, nigga.
Then they go two blocks.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, shit.
With no shoes.
No shoes.
Straight barefoot.
I'm on Malcolm X. Riding out. And then, you know, so I'm like, I'm telling myself, all right, as long as I can keep my eyes on them, I ain't going to quit.
Right.
I'm like, they got to get stopped by a light at
some
point.
Do they see you?
No, they don't see me yet because they way
ahead
of me. They
just joyriding.
At first, they was rolling out. They was speeding.
Right.
And then now they chilling. They like, yeah, we good. We off the block.
Right.
And so they pull up. They get halfway through the next block. And then I guess they knew somebody or they, I don't know if the kid mama or aunt, whatever, was in the beauty parlor.
Right.
Like a little braid shop.
Right.
So they stopped in front of the braid shop. I'm like, they stopped.
And then your feet was like,
and then the kid on my son's bike, he in the doorway of the braid shop, like high signing and shit, like, yeah.
I got a new bike.
You know what I'm
saying?
Look at me. Mm-hmm. I got me a fresh one. What's up? And I'm like, So I'm running fast as I motherfucking can at this point. So
barefoot.
You can picture this shit. I'm barefooted. My hair is wild. Combed. It ain't pitched. It's wild.
Uh-huh.
So I'm.
did your son see you take off? Or he
I don't
even
know.
See,
I don't, okay. I'm out.
I saw the situation.
I saw the bike and I just broke out.
Okay.
So I see him stop and I pick up speed because I'm like, yeah, buddy.
I see your ass.
And then, you know what I'm saying? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to slap the shit out of this one. I'm going to slap his head off.
Fuck,
this little fuck, nigga. I'm going to slap his head off.
You got me out here barefoot running in the street.
So, but then I think about it, I'm like, damn, I'm on Malcolm X. He in front of a shop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't slap nobody kid upside the head.
Not barefoot in the street.
But shit. But what I did do... You know how you grab somebody up by the back of their
right,
shirt?
Right, let them know.
But when I hit him on his back to grab him up, that shit was fire.
Yeah.
Ba-doof!
Uh-huh.
And I snatched his ass off the bike. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm like, how old was he, 12?
About 11, 12 years old. Man, what the fuck is wrong with you? And threw him off the bike.
Uh-huh.
And his eyes, you know what I'm saying? He was paralyzed with fear. His eyes was big as
right.
fuck. He was like,
right.
Cause he didn't know he was even being pursued.
Nah, not at all.
And then at this point, I'm over the edge.
Nigga, so all 10 of your toes,
my ashy toes shit. Is out. My feet probably black on the bottom at this point. And I'm zoned out. Everything is a fucking blur. Like at this point, because now I'm mad.
Right.
Then they done ran me. They done drug me three blocks.
Right.
So I'm like, damn. He probably got somebody in this shop.
Right.
So be
careful.
So I'm not even be careful because, like I said, I'm over the edge.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm.
But you gotta relax.
I'm far gone. I'm beyond the relax.
Oh, you're taking the momentum.
And I ain't taking the momentum, but I understand what may happen.
Right.
Because I anticipated somebody coming out of the store.
Ready.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So I'm preparing myself for whoever gonna come out this motherfucking store.
Karate foot.
So he runs in the store, and then I stand in front. I grab the bike, and I'm standing in the doorway of the store, like, who the fuck want what?
Right.
But nobody ain't never get up.
No.
I couldn't even see no. Everything was a blur. I couldn't even see no faces. So right. I'm like, I don't even know who was in there.
Okay.
So I was just standing in the door, wild haired, bug eyed, right. barefooted. Nobody ain't get up. So I just got on the bike and rolled off. Took the bike back home. Then I had to have that talk at the house.
So what happened?
The fuck is wrong with you, man?
Can't let nobody ride your. Yo, can I get a ride?
Why is he on your bike anyway?
You know what I'm saying?
Can't let nobody ride your bike.
Not in the hood.
I was like, listen, man. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't know these motherfuckers. You know, I'm cussing this shit. I'm all out of. I'm over the edge.
Right.
Like, you don't know these motherfuckers. You can't let these motherfuckers ride your bike. Listen to me, man.
Did he know them at all?
No, he was just in the park and he was racing the one boy, and then he was like, hey, that's my cousin. Can I race him?
Right.
And then they raced their ass on out the park. So I'm like, listen, man, don't let nobody ride your bike. Mm-hmm. And like, next time somebody asks you to ride your bike, it's going to be a little man pop up in your head, you know what I'm saying, with some gold teeth.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Say, like, you don't know these motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Let me hear you say that shit. He was like, I'm like, say it!
You don't know these motherfuckers?
I don't know these motherfuckers. Okay, that's what you need. That's what needs to pop in your head next time somebody asks you to ride your bike and you don't know them.
I like this.
You understand? You understand me? He was like, all right, but he felt bad. He went to his room. I didn't see him the rest of the day.
That's a good episode of Black Father.
I think he got the point, though.
Hell yeah. You got to get that.
Whew. You know.
You ever had your bike stolen?
Yes, motherfucker. Somebody stole my bike. Boy, you couldn't hear the end of that shit. I think I got a whooping.
Nigga stole my bike and like, flipped it. Like, I seen parts of my bike on other bikes. Like, they broke my shit down so crazy, man. Oh, yeah, I had to fight the motherfucker. But, yeah, there's a couple times where I almost had my bike. You just can't let nobody ride your bike. That's rule number one around the way.
See, the first time they got me just off of not locking it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know somebody snuck me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, I probably got a whooping about that.
Right.
And then I got a crispy, like what they call a Cadillac bike back in mine. It was, you know. 10 speed, but it's with the high runabout handlebars, you know, with the Playboy pad.
Oh, yeah, so fly shit.
It was like it was a Cadillac of bikes.
Okay.
Around the way. And so at this point.
This thing has always been up.
At this point, ain't always been up. I ain't say always. What the fuck? I can't tell a fucking story without
Cadillac of bikes.
Just a real nice crease right on the Cadillac of bikes.
These motherfuckers go all over the world and perform in front of shows. They get flew all over the motherfuckers. Got meet and greets and shit with the engine.
Embrace your upness.
You know what I'm saying? Shit.
It was the Cadillac of bikes.
Nigga can't have no bike.
They got the Playboy.
The Playboy pad.
They got an adult bike as a kid.
So
stole his bike from an adult.
So
go ahead.
So my pops, he had bought me this, he had gave me this you know, collapsible baton, one of them old martial arts.
Oh shit.
Steel like joints.
Like the fucking cop shit.
Yeah. It was like a martial arts joint.
Wow. Uh-huh.
So he had gave me one of those and it was hooked up to the bike.
Right.
So we was running away and this one cat, and he ran with the bad crowd,
right.
But his older brother was more like the
gangster,
the bully type of dude. We weren't too young to be gangsters, you know what I'm saying? But you know,
fighter,
just bad, just go for bad.
Yeah.
So this motherfucker, he was loud. He was always the loud talking, joke telling little brother of the bad cat.
Yeah, the bully.
Right. But they ain't really live in my part of the neighborhood, so I ain't really know them like that.
Right.
So he was like, yo, man, let me ride your bike to the store. Come on, man. No,
yeah, nah.
Nah. we beyond that.
I'm good.
Nah. So he grabbed the bike, and I grabbed a little baton, and I had it in my hand before I swapped it out.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to pull the bike. I pulled it back, and then I was, you know, when in order to open the collapsible baton, you got to do it with some enthusiasm.
Right.
You got to have some oomph to it. So when you snap it out, it's like,
yeah.
So it's like a superhero move to even get it open.
Right. It's real.
So
it's deliberate as fuck.
Deliberate as fuck. Like, okay, we beyond you know what I'm saying? We beyond talking now.
It's about to be on.
So he pulled the bike and I whooped the shit out.
Uh-huh.
Then he looked, he paused. He was like,
oh, all right.
What, you gonna hit me with your stick? Yes, motherfucker.
Nigga, it's gonna happen.
But you know, it wasn't no word, but in my mind, like, what the fuck you think I opened it up for?
Yeah, but that was to confuse you, to make you second guess.
But then he was like, he left that shit alone.
Ain't
nobody gonna steal your bike, man. You know how motherfuckers be walking off talking. Yeah. Nobody gonna steal your bike. You're always tripping and tripping.
Oh, man.
And then the nigga I'm with, he like, you was gonna hit him with that?
Hell yeah, I was gonna hit him with it. Nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But you know, it's funny though when you see somebody use like a weapon. Because I remember years ago, my cousin, he was in Atlanta. My cousin, he used to play in the marching band, right? Mm-hmm. And he used to play the drum. So he had the drums that they hang on your wrists. And play the bass, ba-boom, boom, boom, with them shits. And you spin them and twirl them, boom, right? So he had these shits. We got into a fight with these other two kids. And then this one kid kind of, I'm fighting one cat. One kid tried to rush my cousin. Cousin had his little joints. So, yo, he went to town on his kid's temples. I was like, yeah. It was the smoothest, flyest shit ever. Because he had no hesitation. He had the shit was so like.
He's so rehearsed.
It was like he was playing a drum.
He was in shape with that shit.
Oh, it was like a Jason Bourne ass whip. You know how that nigga just know everything and it looked methodic? He was like, brrr. Oh, that nigga took a super L. That was the funniest shit. We laughed about that shit for weeks. That shit was the funniest shit ever. So every time I see somebody like really pull out a weapon and go to work with it, like with no regard, goodness. Like it's going, if it's on, it's on.
Right.
And that, it was on.
That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Again, I guess take it back to the police and any. That's the thing when it comes to a weapon. Once you got it,
you want to use
it. And it's engaged. Your mind already go beyond the fact of rationale. You know what I'm saying? Like when you get in the situation, you already beyond rationale once you, you know what I'm saying? But if you trained as a motherfucking officer of the motherfucking law.
I just don't like it.
You know what I'm saying? You should be able to, you know what I'm saying, discern. And stay in the moment and not lose
sight
of what it is.
Don't get caught up.
But as a regular motherfucker, once you pull your shit out.
But that's the thing. A lot of them are still regular motherfuckers playing war. Because some of the shit that they get, like some of these weapons they get are like way beyond neighborhood policing. Sheriff, state policing. They be getting tanks now. They getting body armor. They getting crazy ass pistols. And the thing is, now they starting to bring it to the narrative. Like, they'll say everything that needs to be said before you shoot somebody. Right. All right, stop it. You're resisting. Stop it. They said everything that needs to be said.
Don't make me shoot you.
Right. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's that bullshit. Right. I don't like that at all, man. Damn, I know we was having a good time. We went right back to tragedy. Well, shit. It's about that time to get out of here anyway. I hate to leave you on the down note.
Nah, we not going to leave nobody on the down
note. Nah, we going to... Anything else you want to tell the people?
Hey, man. Oh, shit.
Shit. Let's tell them where you're going to be.
Well, hey, man. Next week this time, it's going to be my birthday.
Ooh-hoo!
So next time y'all hear me, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be the kids, you know what I'm saying, celebration.
928.
You know what I'm saying? 928. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Feel free to, you know what I'm saying, tell a friend to send a gift.
Show love.
You know what I'm saying? Showing love to the player. So that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be preparing for that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where you going to be?
Man, I'm going to be a few places, actually. It's a good thing that you asked me. Well, this Thursday, I'm going to be at, I'm not sure if it's open to the public, there's going to be a screening for the movie Secrets. Remember that movie I shot in D.C., Secrets?
Yeah. Not sure if it's open to the public.
I'm not sure because I'm getting conflicted things. I got a flyer, but I haven't posted. I need to find out. Shout out to my man, Juwan Lido. It's going to be at Mist in Harlem on 116th. Mm-hmm. That's Thursday night. I think about 7 o'clock, there's a screening and a Q&A. Mm-hmm. And we'll fall through that. But beyond that, man, we going a little crazy, man.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco on
on the 30th and the 1st. Mm-hmm. The 30th of September to the 1st of October. Then the week after that, I'm going to be at the Good Spokane Comedy Club that weekend. And the weekend after that, I'm going to be at the, Actually, the week after that, I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv, the 6th through the 8th. Then the weekend after that, the 13th through the 15th, I'm going to be at the good old Spokane Comedy Club.
We be in your city.
We in your city. And then the week after
Talking about me with a 10 speed.
Hey, man. The 20th, I'm going to be in New York City at the Good Carolines from the 20th through the 23rd. So we out here. We got a lot of shit going on. And, you know, follow me. Find out what's going on. Go buy some tickets if you're in any of those areas. I'm also going to be in Nashville on November 11th and 12th. So if you anywhere in those cities I just shouted out, go buy your tickets now because they're moving fast, hopefully. You know, I want to see you in the building. You know what I mean? But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
All the way in the conversation. Deep down in it.
Woo! Be out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.